This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
Rabble.ca.
Hi, I'm Wayne McPhail, and I was one of the people that originally started the Rabble Podcast Network, and I think that you should support the Rabble Podcast Network and Rabble.ca because there's no other place where you're going to get such a diversity of voices speaking truth to power.
The Rabble Podcast Network is 10 years old this year. Show your support by going to rabble.ca/donate.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
Hillary Clinton is set to become the Democratic nominee for President of the United States. This is the first time in U.S. history that a woman will be a major party's nominee. If elected, Clinton would also be the first woman to serve as President of the United States. And that has led to talk about the breaking of glass ceilings. Most feminist organizations like Planned Parenthood have endorsed her, as have feminist leaders and heroines like Gloria Steinem. However, a new book raises questions about Clinton's feminism and her commitment to economic justice for women as a whole. Liza Featherstone is editor of False Choices, The Faux Feminism of Hillary Rodham Clinton, and she joins me this morning by phone. Hello, Liza.
Hi there.
Now, the narrative being put out by the supporters of Hillary Clinton is that a victory for her is a victory for feminism and that it's going to be inspiring for young girls in the U.S. Do you think that this argument has merit?
Well, I think that any time that women are successful, it can be inspiring for other women and especially for young women and little girls. But I think that that shouldn't cause us to lose sight of the very real ways in which Hillary Clinton's feminism is really not much of a feminism, but actually has been deployed against the interests of the vast majority of women. She's worked all her life for policies of austerity in the form of welfare reform, which she championed under her husband's administration in the 90s, which threw many, many women who were already poor into much greater poverty and immiseration, along with their children. She's also been a champion of quote-unquote tough-on-crime policies that have really contributed to mass incarceration, which hasn't been good for men or women in minority communities in the United States. And she's also been a vigorous champion of U.S. military power, which has had quite a brutal effect on women and vulnerable people all over the globe. You know, we could consider her time as Secretary of State, in which she gave cover to and encouraged and enabled the right-wing overthrow of the democratically elected government in Honduras, a coup which has unleashed incredible violence in that country, especially rape and femicide and violence by that government against women workers, like teachers trying to assert their rights in that country. So I think that what Hillary Clinton as a figure forces us to do is ask, what is feminism and who is it for? And I think who is it for is an incredibly important question that to my mind can only be answered by feminism is for all women. And Hillary Clinton is the kind of figure who's not interested in the welfare of all women. She is a champion of the 1% and of the deep foreign policy establishment. Ghouls like Henry Kissinger, who nobody would mistake as a champion of feminism.
Now, has Clinton fought for working women throughout her career?
Well, this is a great question. Early on in her career, being in Arkansas as First Lady of Arkansas when Bill Clinton was governor of that state, she was part of Arkansas ruling class circles and was asked by the Walton family, that's the family that mostly owns Walmart, the Walton women asked her to come on to the board of Walmart as the first woman on the board of that company. Now, part of the reason was that there was intense internal complaint about the treatment of women. Women then and now made up the majority of the low-wage workers at Walmart, but were at much lower rates than men, promoted to management, and were paid less in almost every position at the company. and Hillary Clinton served on the board of Walmart, as far as we know, did nothing to use her position to advance the position of low-wage women. In fact, long after she left, those problems only metastasized, and the company became the target of the largest civil rights class action suit in history, Betty Dukes versus Walmart Stores. Hillary Clinton has not only never did anything to advance the plight of women at Walmart, she has never said anything to reflect critically on her time at Walmart or her relationship with that company. In fact, she's on record as saying that Walmart is a great company and she's just proud of her association with it. That should really be sobering. You know, that company is really a model of race to the bottom, poverty wages. It's really been a leader in poor working conditions for retail, which is a significant employer of women. And it's also been a pioneer in union busting, in aggressive anti-union tactics. And Walmart and companies like it are part of the reason that private sector unionism has shrunk so dramatically in this country. And again, unions are one of the best ways to fight sex discrimination on the job, and race discrimination as well, is to have a union in your workplace. So, you know, I think we see a real disconnect between the rhetoric around Hillary Clinton as a champion of women and women's rights and the material reality of her relationship to institutions that have, in fact, done everything they can to exploit women and make things worse for working women.
Well, where does Clinton position herself in terms of her support of union and her practice of support of union?
You know, I think that she certainly knows that as a Democratic candidate, she has to win the support of unions. So, you know, she has certainly given lip service to union rights, but many people rightly will look critically at her record of relationships with companies like Walmart, support for trade deals that many unions and their members have opposed, and also I look at her close relationship with the financial sector and the 1%, and her record of siding with corporate America and the 1% when she has had to choose between those interests and workers. She has chosen those interests. Another example would be as Secretary of State, when Haitian women workers in the garment industry were trying to raise their minimum wage. And remember, Haiti is a very poor country. People are asking for a raise in their wages. They're really suffering. And Hillary Clinton sided with the U.S. garment manufacturers in opposing raising the minimum wage for garment workers in Haiti. So this is the kind of thing I don't think that American workers should expect Hillary Clinton to be very much of a friend, and certainly not American women workers. You know, now that we are going into a general election, it's not as though Donald Trump is going to be a better friend to labor. But I just really think that people should keep their eyes open about just what kind of a feminist Hillary Clinton is.
I want to look at Clinton and her record and where she's acted. You've alluded to a couple of different situations in the interests of or against the interests of women of color and their broader communities. What you mentioned contributing to policies of mass incarceration. Where else has she had an impact there?
On the issue of mass incarceration, I'd really recommend people read the chapter in False Choices by Donna Murch, who's an historian at Rutgers University. And she has a chapter on when Black lives didn't matter, on the Clintons and the war on drugs. You know, I think that it's also important to look at the pattern of disrespect. There was a young Black Lives Matter protester interrupted Hillary Clinton on the campaign trail earlier in this election cycle to confront Clinton about having used language, referred to young Black people who were involved in criminal behavior as super predators, quote unquote. And Hillary Clinton had said at the time, this was in the 1990s, we need to bring them to heel. Language which was really chilling in its dehumanization, really making it sound as though these people were animals. And the protester confronted Hillary Clinton with this and said, you know, you said these things, you used this language. What do you think about that now? And instead of engaging with her or trying to be thoughtful about it, this was a fundraiser, a very high-priced fundraiser, and Clinton just had the security rather roughly remove this young woman from the rather tony gathering. It was really rather chilling and disrespectful, like not that this woman was a constituent, in fact, part of an important constituency for Hillary Clinton. She really gets a lot of support from African Americans, but instead she was treated as a marginalized person who needed to be silenced so that Hillary could tend to the more important constituents, which were, of course, her big donors and the 1%. So, you know, I think that the record of Clinton's on racial issues is complicated, but should certainly give us pause, because I think it really goes without saying that anti-racism should always be central to a feminist agenda.
Now, how have younger feminists reacted to Hillary Clinton's campaign?
It's interesting. Younger feminists have been a lot more skeptical of her and a lot more skeptical of this narrative that Hillary Clinton is good for women than women my age or older. I'm actually in my 40s. Whereas women my age tend to remember the 90s and how Hillary Clinton was under constant right-wing and sexist attack. So, you know, sometimes people my age feel some sympathy for her. Younger women have really asked, well, what does she stand for? And we saw in the primary campaign a lot of support among young women for Hillary's opponent, Bernie Sanders. A lot of young women were saying, look, I have student debt, my job prospects are not very good, I need these progressive economic policies, these kinds of universal programs that are meant to help the poor and middle class that Bernie Sanders was advocating and that Hillary Clinton was so stridently campaigning against, things like single-payer health care. For young women, the issues of anti-racism, issues of police brutality, very prominent among politically active young women because Black Lives Matter has been such an influential political group, and also issues of rape and sexual assault are very prominent among young women, regardless of their socioeconomic status right now. And a lot of young women were very uneasy with allegations of rape and harassment against Bill Clinton and suggestions that Hillary had helped cover up those incidents, had contributed to intimidating or silencing accusers. Things like that definitely, I think, have made a lot of young women quite skeptical of her. You know, it's also, I think the millennials are a lot more political than a lot of women of my generation in the United States. I mean, they just are, and more socialist, social democratic in their leanings, and more attuned to a range of political issues. My generation came of age during Reagan and Bush, so we're sort of more credulous about figures like Hillary Clinton, I think. But there's been a lot of skepticism of her among young women.
Well, I mean, I guess looking at the states from here with a lineup that includes Clinton and Trump and kind of in an environment of extremely toxic systemic racism, I wonder where feminists can turn for a real political alternative.
You know, I think that there is no good feminist alternative in this election. I mean, I think the best outlet for real feminist politics is going to be independent down-ticket candidates. There's certainly the Bernie Sanders campaign has certainly inspired a lot of new people to run for office, especially locally, all over the country. Many of those people are women and feminists, and I think that's where a lot of people's energies are going to go, rightly so. It's also given a momentum to local and state initiatives pushing the kinds of policies that Bernie Sanders was talking about. Like, we have a single-payer health care bill moving through the legislature that a lot of people are working for here in New York State, for example, where I live. So So, you know, there's a lot of political organizing to be done. Just the recent horrifying events on police violence that happened just in the last few days. A lot of people are going to be getting into the streets over that, and rightly so. I mean, there isn't much meaningful action we can take about the presidential election. I think that some people will be working for the Green Party candidate, Jill Stein, who is certainly advancing a righteous feminist agenda. I plan to vote for her in New York State. It's not a swing state, so my vote isn't needed to defeat Donald Trump in New York, so I will feel content voting for the Green Party candidate. Lots of people live in places where that are going to be more contested between Trump and Clinton and are going to rightly want to resist the racist right-wing populism of Trump by voting for Clinton, and I think they're right to do that, too. But I think that in the big picture, we have to remember the kind of politics that Hillary Clinton represents feeds the kind of politics that Trump represents, that austerity, neoliberalism, militarism, corruption, elitism, that all feeds the kind of racist resentment and, you know, bogus fake populism of a Donald Trump, and it isn't the solution to it. If we elect Hillary Clinton, as I think we kind of have to, we are just going to see a lot more hideous people like Donald Trump emerging on the horizon. So in the long run, we really have to create much better left alternatives. And I think we do that by working independently, supporting candidates that are independent of these interests and these parties, and working for issues through grassroots movements outside of the system.
It's been really interesting talking with you this morning, Lisa, and thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much.
I've been speaking with Liza Featherstone. Liza is editor of False Choices, The Faux Feminism of Hillary Rodham Clinton, and that book is available through Verso Press.